Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Side of Racine, Wisconsin. It's goddamn, that fly's driving me nuts. It's God.
it's encroaching on your personal space. Guys, games and beer.
It's a podcast that encroaches on your personal space. Guys, games and beer. The ceiling is falling to hell in. All right.
Yeah, it is.
In our fashionable basement studio here at GTP Towers.
We need a bigger budget.
We are full of distractions today.
It's not really GTP Towers because, I mean, we would be in like a tower. That's why we're in the basement.
This is the basement.
We call it GTP Towers because it makes us feel better.
A little bit.
The GTP Towers is a real thing.
Doesn't mean shut the hell up.
Shut up, man!
And so is
don't ruin the shit, the illusion here!
Everybody believes that that's real, so come on.
Right on the lakefront. All right, so...
It is the lakefront.
We have a show beer tonight, Rob. So we need you to do a beer cart.
Holy crap. I hereby call... Beer cart to order. It is Milwaukee Brewing Company versus the State of Wisconsin Beer Court.
That's local flavor.
Ooh, a strong defendant. Ah.
Bada bump.
Alright, so woo! Ryan, you bought this, so you have to do the description of this. Do they have a description of this, or are we to guess?
It's not guess. Well, it looks like they changed the name. Last year was Hoptoberfest.
Oh, really?
Or previous iterations or whatever.
Okay, well, this,
so
this is
the
not
old
longer.
Description
no, all right.
said our well, hoppy yeah. take on a classical seasonal German-style lager brewed with pale ale, caramel, and toasted Munich malts that attribute a sweet, earthy, malty flavor, toasted aroma, and a bright orange-blue hue.
Okay, well, I'm going to say right now it smells hoppier than a normal...
Blue?
No, hue. Orange hue.
Orange hue.
Yeah. It smells
German,
hoppier than a normal lager.
German Jeez. Something hops and a herbal peppery flavor in nose.
Let's find out.
That's a lot of words to stick into a beer.
That place. Was.
I like that we gave up on the glass right away, so...
Yes, maybe we did that last time.
Oh, that's
and now
good.
We're not
okay,
doing
I'm wow. okay with that.
That tastes better than it smells.
It smells a little hoppy, actually.
Is that going to be like their trademark?
Yeah. Nice finish.
It sweetens up a little bit.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Oh, it's real good. That is so good. That is so, so good.
You know, it's got a real caramel to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I don't like lagers, and this one's actually pretty good.
That's because it's got a little hoppiness to
Man,
it, too.
Milwaukee Brewery
it really does.
Kicks ass all of the time.
They really do. It's
like
kind of
sort of
thing.
The maple-y caramelness of it.
Yeah.
I would drink more of this.
Yeah.
Can I drink more of this?
Well, there are four more sitting there, so
Dips.
The answer is you better start drinking that one fast. I got a feeling if you don't beat other people to it, they will reach for it before you do.
This one gets off Scott
Free. They're classic labeling, they're old school labeling, you know.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Old bowling alley look.
Yep.
Ah, we forgot to pour it in a glass.
That's what I said. We gave that up quick.
Yeah, you guys. One time.
We're not good at doing much.
That one pour.
Yeah, you know that whole effort thing?
Yeah.
Not really our thing.
We're great at lack of
All right, well, okay, I think we've all had a chance to kind of make our judgment. What do you think, people? I'm going thumbs up all the way on this.
Unanimous?
This is one of the best beers.
That's 2 weeks
beer
in a row now. But I gotta say, this you're right. This is probably one of the best beer. Ones we've had.
Yeah. I don't like every beer from MKE. I like many of them.
Right.
But I really like this one.
Oh, I like every
Okay, so you know me. I'm a lager guy. And this is a lager with a little bit of hoppiness to it.
Okay.
And again, that I think that cuts through the sweetness of the caramel. Because it does have that caramel start to it. But it's got that nice bitter, a little bit of bitter at the end there.
No, it's very good. It has definitely the right amount of bitter.
As someone who doesn't like lagers,
beer they make.
Right, which is kind of does the same thing. Add that little bit of bitter at the end. But I do. It's funny because it does, a little sweetness, a little caramel in the beginning. clears that right out with that
I'm not gonna say it.
So this is the seasonal from MKE, so get your ass out there and buy it.
It's also like only a regional beer, so
yeah, well, sucks to be you if you don't live in Wisconsin,
super
doesn't
regional,
it?
But it's worth a tour for any Illinois folks.
Okay, but I gotta say now, what's gonna happen when they open that new one downtown? Are we gonna lose those great tours?
Hell no.
You saw the new building.
Are they opening
a new one? Shit.
Like, as well as?
No. They're
closing down.
They're closing down the existing one and opening up a big one downtown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
good I mean, big one.
Sell out.
So you're saying that maybe we can't have 2 hours of sour.
That's how they made their money, though. That's what they made their name on.
They really did.
I can't imagine
them
getting
we'll see. We'll see.
I can't.
That's the best brewery tour in town.
Their brew tour.
It's the best brewery tour.
2 hours.
Yeah.
The first half hour is just you getting beer, and it's basically as fast as you can drink.
It's 2 hours of all you can drink beer.
And then occasionally they interrupt by like going, "This is
showing you
some hops over here." I'll go get a beer.
Now that being said, there's a new brewery opening up on St. Paul, which I think is going to be along that same vein. So the guy who was the brewmaster at Lakeland. I think that's the name of it. He was the brewmaster at Lakeland in California, has come back to Milwaukee, where he's from, and is opening up a new brewery. And it's this close to being done. I expect it'll be open any time now.
Yeah.
He's already brewing. I can smell. I could go in the morning, because I walk right past it in the morning, and I can smell him going in the morning. It's like, you're brewing, man. I know that smell. That's wart.
Dude, that's probably just your upper lip.
It could be that,
just
too.
Saying.
It could be that, too. So, do you know the guy?
No, but I know where I know of it. I used to drive past it.
Yeah, so no,
on the way home from work when we still live in Milwaukee.
Yeah, they are almost done.
I've seen it. I've seen the building.
Yeah, oh my God, what's the
building?
Yeah, it looks fucking awesome now.
So, what's that? Possible for Wisconsin to become oversaturated with breweries?
No.
It's not going to happen. Not a chance.
There's that new one that opened. I haven't been to it yet. On Farwell, like right by Fushimi.
Yeah,
there's like a little brewery, yeah.
Really?
Right next door to Fushimi, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, something...
It might suck. I don't know. I haven't been there, but...
I think next week for Beer Court, going to be Benjamin Brewery.
You know, we haven't done them yet, and we really should, because that's hyper-local.
Are they open now?
Oh, my God, yes.
They're sure open, yeah.
Yeah, we've been drinking there.
Why haven't you taken me?
Well... Okay, next time
you're up for.
I mean, you
really
should
be. Justin.
Hey, what did you say? Put on a little bit of booty. That goes a long way. Tom takes
just
me
saying,
everywhere.
Just saying.
Put on.
That's right. He puts out. I take him everywhere.
But regardless, this beer is delicious.
Yeah, anyway, about what actually.
Oh, yeah. What
okay,
were we talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah,
oh,
I've
gone
okay.
on for 20 minutes.
Judge Rob, the verdict on this beer?
On the charge of being local, tasty flavor, I find Oktoberfest by Milwaukee Brewing. Tasty as hell. By the way, the towers called at the last episode and said if I don't quit banging on the table, they're going to give us one of those TV trays.
Oh, to broadcast off of? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Fucking towers. By the way, management, you suck.
Fuckers.
Really? We pay rent for the love of God.
Yeah, well, yeah, they give us that check. I mean, 59 fucking cents.
I know.
For doing their podcast. Jesus.
All right. That's really good, though. I gotta say, that is really
okay,
tasty.
Absolutely.
Again, go out, find it, buy it, drink it. It's really good. For the locals, even if you're not local, do it.
Yeah, right.
All right. So, Rob, what's the real topic tonight?
The real topic is Labor Day weekend.
We just finished Labor Day weekend. Yeah, this is the day after we're recording.
So I thought we'd celebrate the hardworking folk of America and. Elsewhere, although I think we're the only ones celebrating Labor Day. You never know, though. Sometimes that shit
Canada
spreads.
No, actually, surprisingly enough, just reading about Labor Day today, it's actually celebrated in like 90-some countries around the world. Huh. Most celebrated as a May Day, not as a Labor Day.
Gotcha. But it's September.
But it... No, but
there may be...
Not May Day, not May Day. I'm sorry, no, what... What am I thinking?
I can almost say
what
Boxing
do they call it?
Day.
No, no, they call
like
they call it something
day.
Else, but they do call it. But there is a Labor Day,
Gotcha.
Day. I was thinking May Day, but no, but people celebrate that. But no, there's a it's celebrated. Labor Day was actually exported in the early 1900s from the United States to like 90 some countries, and they all celebrate it as a true Labor Day. We all celebrate for drinking, which is just fine too. I'm okay with that.
That's a labor of love.
Yeah.
You know, that whole educational shot might come back.
Educational shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're being educational. That's a big
shot. Take a
shot.
Right. Okay. So, So we just got off of Labor Day. So what we're talking about tonight is
Games that either involve labor or have labor as a central theme in them. That is our first topic of the day. And Mike's way the fuck over here. We're like recording beer cans opening, basically. Which wouldn't be that unusual for us.
No, really. Exactly. There are shows of just our beer cans being set down.
Shotgun should be getting a little bit of action.
I'm saying, is this one now?
Welcome to the Guys, Games, and Beer ASMR. Talk relaxing.
It's on NPR.
NPR, yes.
WUWU.
With Terry Gross.
With Terry Gross.
There's always...
Okay, hyper-local. All right, so...
Grosser than Terry is what we are, really.
I'm going to start this one out.
Oh, way to go.
So, you know, you want to talk about a game where you have to do some form of labor? I've been playing a lot of Minecraft again on the virtual gear. Minecraft is a good example of a game that involves labor. It's a labor-based game. The idea is to perform labor and make things. Whether you're performing... farming to grow things, mm-hmm. or mining to get raw materials, or raising animals, or whatever. The game is based around labor. Yeah, I know this is creative, blah, blah, blah. Who cares about that? But it really is a labor-based game. Yeah, there are zombies and, warlocks and all sorts of other things.
You have that going on in most workplaces.
Are we
really
just talking about games that are primarily, or games that incorporate labor?
I said... at the beginning, Larry, when you weren't listening because you're drunk.
Yeah, that's
wait,
true.
Is that me?
That
no.
might be you.
Okay. That could either have it as a central theme or as part of the game.
Right.
It's kind of interesting because, again, not only was Minecraft insanely popular and what it did, and people, you know, obviously tens of millions of players, but it spawned off a whole genre of the whole crafting genre. Like, mm-hmm. you had your, like, survival crafting games that just, like, dime a dozen every week would spit out on Steam. And again, like, some of them can be really good, like Ark, to a lesser extent, DayZ, kind of like a survival crafting, but it was much more survival. But you also had, what was the underwater one? Does anybody remember that one? JJ and Ben always talk about it all the time.
Wetcraft.
I
do not.
There's a lot, and then even like, Trove, which was an MMO style after Minecraft, but it was also, you know, about collecting, gathering resources.
Right, and making.
But yeah, I mean, like, there are legitimately now hundreds of games in the span of, like, you know, a few years that, you know, incorporate this.
Some
crafting. You have to, like, go around and collect materials to build and upgrade and, you know, whatever, depending on the game.
Yeah.
And they're insanely popular.
Right, and that is basically the labor-based game. You have to go out and find what you need to build something. You have to take the time to actually build it. Whether it's, in Minecraft, it starts out very simple builds, but as the game progresses, the builds get more and more complicated. And, you know, there are whole tomes on how to build weird things in Minecraft, X-ray machines, and, you know.
People building working Game Boys.
Right, exactly.
Using redstone to friggin' create computer programs, like, kind of.
Making an actual calculator.
Yeah, exactly.
Programming a calculator out of Minecraft.
Yeah, so that is a classic example. And the whole premise of the game is that. I mean, really is.
Oh!
Yeah, you can play the survival mode, but if you're not crafting, if you're not producing, if you're not making things, if you're not doing the grunt labor of mining and
I have another.
You cannot get to that level where you produce and so on. So that's a really, I think, like you said, pretty much started that genre out.
It was there before, but it made it very popular.
Yeah,
it
took it to the next level.
Well, that's the hardcore version of it, you know, where you it's a central theme, but there's been a lot of other games that have incorporated into it. You know, like, I played Atlantia for a long time, and one of the ways to make money was to make your character fish.
Right.
And your character just be
really
fishing
common.
For hours, just fishing for... You leave your PC on overnight while you slept and it's fishing.
And your character's just fishing.
Your character's just fishing, you know. Or they might be crafting. Or they're putting, like, different gems together and stuff like that. So, so you're, like, deciding, okay, what are we going to make here? We make this. Oh, that's getting the best price on the market. So
right.
I'm going to craft that. By the time you craft it, the market's crashed. What?
No, I'm
Rob is playing.
What the hell are you playing?
I was just gonna ask that.
I just want to point out that there's also this kind
not,
of labor.
No, no, not the kind labor of labor game. Thing, not the labor game you we're can, talking about.
You can give birth to a baby. That's
what I was thinking.
www.mafa.com/give-birth-a-cute-baby. You can give birth to a... No ugly babies, by the way.
So... You're
so that's really nice.
You're gonna scrub that down with bleach later, right?
It's just that, like, I don't know.
I'm not masturbating to it.
Well, right, but you already went to the website, so you're on some government list.
Maybe he has other to do
otherwise.
He's just to
and again, I've been thinking of games that would kind of really go far back, and like it's a little more niche. But you got all the simulators, man. You got like the farming or Euro trains you know. Even flight, you know, early flight simulators, things like that. Again, they're very popular with the people they're popular with, but...
No, wait a minute. Would you consider flight simulator a labor game?
Oh, yeah. It's like you're actually flying a plane. I mean, you have to learn. Like, you actually have to put in time and study and practice.
Those pilots have a union, man.
Yeah. Again, it takes a fair... Like, again, there are in newer games and stuff, obviously, kind of like... easier modes and things like that, but if you want to, like, some of these people who go out of the way to build cockpits, you know, we know the fair share.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so it's like, it and there takes a fair amount of studying and, like, knowing the occupation or, like, learning about it to actually play, which is something in and of itself, you know, and, like, for some reason, those games are big. Like, they're not huge, but there are people who just love doing a trash collecting simulator, like to drive a dump truck or like, you know, run a train.
Oh wait, okay. Oh, trash collecting.
It was popular enough. It was popular enough that they spoofed it with Goat Simulator, and that was popular.
Okay, like, Goat Simulator is so great. It's a great game.
Best game.
That is great an epic game.
Yeah,
great game.
Amazing, amazing. But it's like, you know, you think about it, like, I mean, those games have been going back, you know, since, you know, before I was born. It was, you know, 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 30, 40 years. You know, you're getting those early flight sims and things like that. You know, people doing naval simulators back in, you know, 70s and 80s.
Right, and they really do, you know, yes, you can say they're war-based, but they are a lot of work.
Yeah, and again, it takes
grunt
knowledge.
Work.
Knowledge of those systems, you know, it's not
okay.
Just...
Larry looks like he's kind of...
Well, you know, I mean... Where are you cutting any line, then?
It's a case-by-case basis. I mean, obviously, there are some mech games that's like, okay, yeah, you can hop in it. It's like a shooter, like Hawken. Or there's other ones, like Mech Force, where you have to have an intricate knowledge of what these mechs are, what they do, how far they can move, what your pilot is, what the skills are. Like, that's much more like a simulator, even though it doesn't even take place in real life. You know, you have... I would say you draw the line where you have to study ahead of time to know what you're doing. You have to read some manuals, take a look online, like, learn from somebody else who knows the game.
You're saying work for you versus work in the game.
See, yeah. I was thinking about it more about, you know, almost like a repetitive task that, you know, you're doing in the game that... For some reason, it feels kind of fun.
See, I took it as kind like I took it as like yeah. the character fixed. Is like working. So it's like fixed. I thought of like Wreck-It yeah. Ralph, like Fix It Felix. That's yeah. what I thought of.
I thought of Fable, where like in order when your character's got, you know, first starting out, you're like you spend 20 minutes chopping wood.
Yeah.
To like make
yeah.
wood.
Yeah.
You know, you're literally just chopping wood yeah. for to get your character.
I'm saying, or like if you say Fable qualifies, I think any of the simulators.
No, I'm saying
about.
The labor, yeah. that there's labor as a part of an element. It's not
but, I
the
mean,
whole
like,
of the game, for sure.
Are we really you know? Still discussing that?
Like Animal Crossing?
Well, again, yeah. this is... So we're talking about in-game labor versus out-game labor. Travis has brought up a good point. There's a lot of games that involve a ton of out-game labor.
Yeah.
Where you have to really know subject matter before you go into the game.
Well,
so
I don't play serious
grinding.
Simulators.
Like, grinding.
Yeah, not grinding. No.
Grinding can be also another part of labor, like playing an MMO, or like Larry was saying, you know, like having to spend that time gathering resources.
I don't even
want to go
too far on that.
I think having
a job would have to be it. I mean... You're not going to be like, I don't think Labor Day celebrates people skinning dinosaurs and running around the forest. I don't think that's a job.
You don't know what Labor Day is celebrating. It's different to each and every person.
I would be perfectly
that's
glad.
That's a hippie.
I would be perfectly glad to skin a dinosaur for you.
You can skim my dinosaur.
To some people, it's celebrating how many gracious jobs they get.
Well, we will go on. We will continue our round. Laura, how about you?
I don't know. I said a couple different ones already, like Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing is a great.
Because you do, like, the whole game is around, like, you know, you have to collect things and sell it, and you have to fish, and you have to, you know, collect apples, and...
It's constantly on your hustle, man.
Yeah, you are. You are.
You're like Monster Rancher.
And...
What?
I never played that one.
No, let's stay with Animal Crossing.
Okay.
With Animal Crossing.
Monster Rancher is almost a freaking job in and of itself.
In and of itself. Game.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah, it is. It's a good game, but you have to do all these chores all the time.
Okay, but that, you're right. That's a game where you are doing tasks.
Yeah.
So, if you don't do those tasks, you're not going to up the game at all.
I also took it a different way of, I thought, when I read the topic description, I thought it was like someone who like has, a, like you're playing a character that like has a job. So like, I thought of like Wreck-It Ralph.
That's more what I was looking for.
Yeah, so I was looking for like Wreck-It Ralph, you know, you have Fix-It Felix, like Fix-It and all this stuff.
But simulators would
be, yeah. My job is to kill
Travis. Travis is pulling, simulators would be more like that, where you have a job and you're, you know,
right, like a flight simulator.
Desert
or
bus driver. Best game of all time.
18-wheeler.
No, that game is real.
18-wheeler, there you go. There's another day job one. Oh, you liked that one, didn't you?
Oh, what was the game that we used to play in those Apple IIe's where you're driving a truck around?
I don't know, but I remember Lemonade. That was a job,
Lemonade Stand.
Lemonade Stand.
Oh, what is it called?
No,
it's not Cruising USA.
I have to look that up.
But there was a game that you would play, that you could play on those older Apples, where you literally were just driving a truck across the country, taking your load from place to place.
Taking your load,
making sure you make delivery. Like the whole game was you being a truck driver.
So technically, a Pyro Bear 2000 is a job.
Yeah.
Cross Country USA.
That's the one.
What a horror
cross-country
idea.
USA.
I actually have EnviroBear on my phone, by the way. You can get it for $1.49 in the App Store. It's beautiful.
Nice.
Okay.
All right, who's next? Who's next? Game that was in Ryan's real next. Time.
Since we all stole him already.
I'm going to go with Timber by Midway. Because you're sitting there, you're chopping down trees.
Early.
Lumberjack,
sure.
You're a lumberjack. How much more labor?
Okay, that is kind of a labor. Solid. That is a labor job.
I love that game. Brought up before.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, very good choice.
Fable is taken. I mean, all the odd jobs you do in like Fable, and then like Timber. My second choice was the OSHA Hazard Identification Training Tool.
I like it, of course.
Which apparently is some kind of game that helps you identify hazards in the workplace.
I gotta find that game for my office.
I have used this game, actually.
What about,
I will send you the link.
Send me the link to that
game. We should add it to the show notes.
This reminds me.
Add it to the show notes.
Viscera Cleanup Detail.
What?
That game is great.
It's basically a game. I'm gonna put that in there. It's a really cheap game on Steam. Basically, you are a janitor that cleans up after a frag fest. So the first one took place in a space station where, like, Doom took place.
Right.
And you have a mop and a bucket, and you have to clean up all the body parts and blood and all this other crazy shit. Yeah. Like, they also have one, a Christmas special, you know, obviously, where Santa was on a murderous rampage and killed all the elves. You gotta clean that up.
They had a Shadow Warrior version where you clean up after the events in Shadow Warrior.
Yeah. Okay, that's
called Viscera Cleanup
Detail.
It's great. It's hilarious.
There is a labor-based
Which is
job.
Funny considering how little she actually cleans in real life.
Oh.
So she'll sit there with a mouse and clean, but if there's a spot on the floor, my ass is out there.
I'm betting Darlene will not see this part of the show.
Anyway.
No.
I'm guessing she would probably agree wholeheartedly. She believes that she is liberated from cleaning, cooking, or anything else. So that is her
problem. That sounds like me.
Is that what you and Darlene get along so well?
How does one then take care of themselves?
Weird.
I didn't get married until I had to cook and clean.
Weird.
Yeah, but, I mean, what did you do before you? I mean, it's like, you still have to take care of yourself with cooking and cleaning.
No, now they have us. Now they have us to do it.
What do you think pizza rolls
always
and McDonald's were for? I mean.
No!
Yes. Oh, sure.
Yes,
liberation is about taking care of yourself.
Labor Day.
All right. Matt. Back to Labor Day.
Got another?
Jesus.
Well, Jesus is exactly Labor Day,
like a table making game or something?
It's a carpenter.
It's a carpenter game.
Makes these great wooden cups.
Ooh. So, this isn't like a game where the main mechanic is like you're doing a job, but Mario Maker for the Wii U has an element of work to it. You're making levels. You're creating levels for you yourself and other people to play. It's work.
No,
we're gonna get those levels set up.
No, wait, now is Mario making the levels in the game, or is it like?
No, okay, you have a Wii gamepad, and you have a stylus, and you can kind of like draw and kind of design on that, and then
you are designing 2D Mario platform levels
that everybody can play.
Yeah, you can share them out on their whatever fucked up internet thing that Nintendo's doing.
It's coming to 3DS later this year. It'll be good.
So take his word for it.
So
I don't know.
A different approach to the labor, not labor in the game, labor outside the game again, where you have to.
And I still think that counts.
No,
we're not saying it doesn't count. Yeah. Everyone's getting very sensitive.
I'm just saying about this whole thing. I didn't spend like 50 hours learning how to play Steel Battalion.
It's true.
Okay, good point. Well taken on that one. So, this guy.
True story, brother.
He's like, I'm fucking good at Steel Battalion, and I want credit for it.
I want you fuckers to know. Yeah.
He was in Steel Battalion. He loved it.
Oh my god,
that's
a fair point. He put the work in. He wants it to count.
He wants to so badly come to our next event.
It's a great game.
So, but that being said, teaching him how to play it, you're right. Freaking labor intensive, okay?
There's a reason I don't play Steel Battalion, because I gave up very quickly.
But you can't.
At the end of the day, you only really need like four buttons and then your joystick.
Right.
I kept falling over and it was horrible.
And you just keep standing
up again.
You just put it in neutral and press down your gas pedal. It's that easy.
He's and then up. I'm dead.
Unless, of course, you just keep getting blown up.
Well, while you're on the ground, everyone's shooting you.
I think you were playing against Brian Rebond, and I think he did keep ramming you on purpose.
Just to knock your ass over, didn't you? Yeah. All right.
Oh, dear.
Justin, you're up.
Okay, so I had... So Matt almost said... So I have two, and it's sort of... He almost said... Okay, but first of all, just Mario, because they're just a couple of plumbers. I mean, it doesn't get more labor than
all they're trying to do is get the damn plumbing jobs.
They're just trying to get, you know, fresh water to Flint, Michigan.
Are they
union?
I mean,
I don't know.
John Leguizamo did work hard.
I'm just saying, they're fucking plumbers.
There is no one. All you're doing is sewer cleaning.
Right, and you're... So that doesn't really count?
No, the original Mario Brothers would totally be a job.
Yeah, you're trying to get
rid
of all those damn turtles.
Yeah,
they're
trying to get all those turtles. Yeah, totally.
And then the only other one I could think of was like, where it's kind of like
a... actually a labor game when you think
where it's
about
like
it.
A job, where the game is a job, and it's not... It's like Tapper.
Yeah,
because
that's just like
the whole game.
Oh wait, did you steal Larry's?
Oh,
Larry used Tapper for last episode.
You should just
Larry used Tapper for
every
four episodes
of the right. And I thought of it, and it's funny because Laura loves Tapper, Larry loves Tapper, and I figured one or both of them would say it.
So you
the whole game is you're
he
just
brought
a
it up
bartender.
Last time.
Yeah,
oh, really? He's brought it up 1,000 times.
Justin gets to bring it up once.
The game, the show could be about like favorite board games, and
the thing about Tapper is, like, it's almost a board game. You know? Did you play Steel?
I mean, the thing about it, with the way that they're like pulling the tab, it's like it's on a
Larry
table.
Larry would totally pull out the Tapper board game. They would totally be a Tapper board game.
I say, if there,
if anybody wants to make the Tapper board game, you'll get
Larry
one
will buy all of them. He will take $10.
They're all first run. They're going to be worth a fortune, man.
Exactly.
Man, my crisis is in.
You're also right. So yeah, that was the only other one I could think of. It's like it's either Mario because they're just a couple of plumbers that end up saving the, you know, the princess,
cleaning sewers out,
and but the sewers are just full of monsters instead of poo.
Maybe they're poo monsters.
Poo monsters or Tapper because the whole game is literally you're just a bartender serving drinks, and that sounds like labor to me.
It's pretty labor. How about a Lars bar?
Stuff, man.
Duffman can't breathe.
No, not breathe.
Guys, Gains and Beer episode 220 with extra douche. Brought to you by Simpsons quotes. Simpsons quotes. They're everywhere.
Yeah, it's funny.
We lost
our
remaining
games
audience
out there
today.
You know, I guess it's probably, you know, you wonder why it is. You know, I mean, most of us get home from our job, and then the last thing we want to do is a job. And there's all these games that are
just
a job. You know. Wait, we really just want to do a job? Is that what's going on? But here's a board game for you. Board game choice.
Hmm?
Forbidden Island. Where no. You are,
you know,
you're treasure hunters.
That's a job.
Trying to navigate an island.
What sinks?
That is a stretch.
What do you got, Nathan Drake, Travis?
The Indiana Jones trade union here.
Like, here is the.
It belongs in a museum.
Here's
a he's grasping at straws. He stole Tapper from him.
That's all he's got.
He doesn't know what else to do. I'm sorry. Well, I did mention.
Well, he's got the Tapper board game.
This is a slippery slope I was talking about, man. Now Doom's a job, because you're a Marine.
I'm trying to clean up hell.
That is what I mean about originally. What's actually a job, you know? Well, to be fair, the hardest wanted work on the other side.
What is a job?
Actually, Uncharted had some basis.
Nothing about
a
mercenary
job
if you love what you do, man.
In Uncharted.
That's true. I mean, thank you.
If you're a mercenary in Uncharted, you're getting killed by Nathan Drake at least.
Yeah, see?
Don't think of you being the player. Think of the guys on the other end that are just doing their job.
Poor Mark. Trying to kill you, right.
Look, this is just my 9-to-5.
All right.
I'm trying to get home to my beautiful wife.
I was 2 days from retirement.
I'm going to night school.
It needs the Wilhelm
screaming. When they go to the Minions house.
I'm really hoping my music career takes off.
Have you heard any of my DJ sets?
I got a side job.
No, of course not.
Rob's got a good one.
It's hard. Yeah, go ahead. You're the man.
Wait, Larry wasn't quite
that.
No,
that was it?
No.
45 minutes of Blind Doom is a goddamn job game.
Alright, no, we're not doing it. Alright.
Let's talk some Shenmue here.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yep.
Wow, that's a good...
You got a job, damn it. Yeah, and you really... In fact, almost ad nauseum.
There was more than jobs. It was a good story.
Good stuff.
Right, but
you
a
also...
lot of it revolved around your job.
No.
Yes.
No, you were karate fighting a lot.
Yeah.
But it was doing fun.
You were driving
trying to find out who...
Were you looking for the
trying to find out who killed your father. Yeah, you need to make money so you could, like, move around and get to the next area.
And use capsule machines.
Yeah, and blow your money on arcade machines and collectibles.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God, yes.
But it was only about, like, a third of the game.
It's a hobby.
That's, you know.
That's no sizable amount.
Yeah.
No, only a third. Only a third.
Pro skating.
I'm sorry. Shenmue's a goddamn good game.
Oh, no.
Pro.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, pro
you,
in the name.
You hit it on the head, Larry. Tony
no.
Hawk's pro skater.
Pro skater. That's your professional job.
Because you know what pro
every
skaters
football
are.
Game.
See,
this
not,
is really
not. It's not.
Those aren't real people
do,
jobs.
That's right. Right. You know, maybe we should.
I'll make sure to tell Tony Hawk his millions of dollars that it's not a real
job.
Yeah,
not a real job.
I was just going, now it's like.
Not a real person job.
Like UFC Undisputed 3. It's like, well, they're professional fighters. So. It's a labor game.
In Pikmin, you have to, like, rebuild your ship.
That's true.
Right, see, there you go.
Build something.
Viva pinatas. Somebody made the damn pinatas. Come on. I was labor, probably making $2 an hour.
I'm just saying,
or a day.
Sorry.
Move on at this point.
Were you ready?
I'm waiting for Planet for Resources and Mass Effect 2
I think
right
we
now.
Stretched that topic.
I think we did. I think that topic is well worn.
But it was amazing.
And stretched.
We're definitely not giving
that
the reviewers.
That topic is so stretched
we're
out
definitely
right
not
now.
Giving the reviewers anything else to hang their
hand. Kind of hard, too.
No, it's not.
We're going to turn off comments
that we do
on this
that.
One.
I think it's hard to
what,
keep this topic focused.
No, at least we play games that
so
are
much.
About working.
I agree. I think, you know, but a lot of people do that. They... Most
they play games at work.
I think, well, I think based on the definition that I think Rob was getting at, I think really the simulators are the only one that fall into the category of like a game that is solely based around like the U.S. labor force.
No, Animal Crossing.
You know what I mean? Like
no, I think any game where you have to grind, not grind. I'm
no,
sorry,
I understand. I agree
construct.
That that is, but I'm saying based on the sentence
right.
that's
yeah.
written in the Facebook group. that we all
that none
at.
Of you none right. of you have seen but he has seen
that we all looked at to say oh what's the topic for this week I think based on the way that I read that sentence the only
I
thing
think,
is really the simulators that actually fall into the way it was worded
but I mean I think it can be construed like again like Animal Crossing is a great example it has human elements like okay you're saving money you're building you're you know you're doing things in your town there are very human elements to it but it's also very unrealistic
well right But or Viscera cleanup detail. Technically, you're doing a job.
Technically,
but
you are a janitor.
I think, but it's in somewhere that doesn't that exist in real life.
I think when we're talking labor, though, at least that somewhat matches. It's like a real person job. Right. My real
this
problem
sucks.
With
I'm gonna do it anyways.
You know, you get to the millionaire thing. I know. This
so
is gonna sound political, but it really
counts.
Isn't.
Is it
when you're making $1 million?
Being a treasure hunter does not.
Oh.
When you're making $1 million.
That's a real job. Didn't you read the news?
Oh, for fuck's sake!
I just
found it. Can we just move on to the next topic?
When you're making $1 million, you really don't need to fucking work next year. So
right.
It's not really a job if
exactly.
You're not forced to do it. The guy at Viscera Detail. He needs to do that
job. He needs
job,
that job.
Obviously.
Right, he needs that job.
He's
right,
got a wife
obviously.
And three beautiful
yeah,
children.
Labor Day isn't celebrating the millionaires.
Yeah.
Tapper comes.
Right, a bartender.
Celebrating
if you're a bartender who customers are getting irate because they're not getting their drinks, that counts.
Well, I'm super happy I'm not the only one that's played that game.
Mark, which one? Timber?
Timber.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Lumberjack. Lumberjack totally counts. I mean,
sure.
Come on.
He's got a beard, flannel, right. He's
oh,
making like
yeah.
26.5 a year, it's a whole thing.
I'm a little
cross country USA
okay.
Man.
All right, yeah. All right. Well, again, proving the reviewers right. This is an unorganized podcast that is very self-referential. That is absolutely true, reviewers. We are not going to ding you on that one.
And you know what? We don't care.
And we're not going to change.
No,
so. Probably not.
So, if you don't like
so,
fuck you.
So, don't ask. You're wasting your fucking breath.
Thank you, exactly.
Wait,
all right.
We have reviewers.
Yeah, we have reviewers. Right. All right, so, Rob.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah. Second topic. Second topic, Rob.
They're barking up the wrong
no,
tree.
No, nobody likes you enough to write a few sentences about you.
Evidently. Well, I would just think
that's like, enough.
Anybody that watches should already know.
Yeah,
and
four.
That,
okay, so we are roughly 4 years of this show now.
Right.
Really, if you haven't figured that out by now,
that's on you.
And if you're coming in just now, don't go to the backlog. It's
no.
Not worth it.
Oh, no, listen.
No, there's
a
backlog.
This ain't one of them. This isn't
there
one of them.
There's gold in that backlog.
There's some
yeah,
gold in that backlog.
Well,
there's some cubic zirconia
it's like,
in that
it's like Minecraft. It's like Minecraft. You gotta dig for that gold, okay?
That's
it's
true.
Not sitting out in the open.
Right, sometimes you find a dingleberry.
It just said last
you're in dolphin
so
rig talk.
Right. That was a diamond in the rough, man.
Madness.
Welcome to G2.
All right.
Long weekend.
Pound your thing. Pound your thing.
All right. Order in the whatever.
All right. Second topic, Rob.
Underneath your thing. Underneath your thing.
Second topic.
Because the towers have complained about tapping on top of the table.
The worst thing is that probably came in loud.
Right on that.
Oh, yeah. It was probably like, yeah, get that sound.
I love it when people that listen with headphones.
All right. Yeah. Second topic.
Second topic is games that are an obvious labor of love. Now, I would like to go with this topic real quick, and the reason I'm saying that is because I'm going to go for a smoke because I can't take this shit anymore.
That's fair.
But I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, labor of love games. Terribly disappointed, but I'm going to go back to MechWarrior on the Amiga. It's been re-released several times on the PC. Somebody had started developing a new version of it, you know, and the only reason you do this because it's a labor of love, because the game is not exactly cutting-edge graphics or cutting-edge gameplay or legal for all that matter because it's ripped off of FASA.
Talking about the remake of MechForce.
I'm sorry, MechForce. Yes,
yeah,
thank you. Not MechForce.
So for people who do not know, MechForce was a game that was developed on the Amiga, Commodore Amiga. It was a simulator, kind of a board top simulator of the FASA universe. So you giant
right.
Walking mechs.
Was developed by some guy in the Navy who did simulators for the Navy. Did
really go. Cool. In the 80s, got sued by FASA.
Yes.
Had to take it. Pretty much stop. You know, just
no. They just had to change the game.
Okay. So yeah, they basically couldn't use the FASA universe stuff anymore. But a guy.
It was originally called Battle Mech, and then it changed it to Mech Force.
To Mech Force, right? And the other issue that came in, they had a real problem because he took all the FASA.
The
everything.
Mech names. Yeah.
So. Yeah, the mech names. But so he released that through the 80s. Still plays as brilliantly as ever, and people have tried twice now to bring it back. And this latest one, again.
There's a, I mean.
The latest one is okay.
I know,
but it has no AI, which
right.
is the problem. We're missing the guy who wrote that
the
stuff.
The AI. And his AI was so good. Right. Yeah. You got somebody who's doing Naval War Games, who knows how to do Naval War Games AI, who stops doing it. AI is always the tricky part. Getting it, you know, knowing strategy, knowing that kind of stuff, and writing a good AI to do it. This guy was so ahead of his times.
We need to, like, bring him on for an episode, find him down.
He's dead.
Yeah.
We can't bring him on.
But we'll dig him up for an episode.
I feel like we can do a scene.
No, he's dead.
We'll dig him up for an episode.
We've talked about him, like, 8 times on the show.
Yeah, every time we mention him,
he's dead. He's probably already knocking on the door.
I'll be active for that.
It does bring up a good point.
I'm sorry, Catholics.
There are tons of fan games. I mean, that's a great, like, thing to, like, labor of love. A lot of people reducing... Like, recently, there was that years, like, 20 years of Metroid or whatever. The Metroid 2 fan project and things that was re-released. And again, Nintendo immediately took it down. Plenty of Mario fan games that were released and then Nintendo immediately took it down.
Yes.
The Pokemon fan releases. Like, these people are putting in hundreds and hundreds of man hours for no money. Like, thinking about those fan games.
And then Nintendo shitting them.
Yes,
this is where I think your idea of... flight simulator guys that build the flight simulator and, you know, and they build a cockpit.
Right, because that is a labor of love.
Jumps in, you know, or they spend the 50, 70, 80 hours to learn this game intimately.
You are way low on those hours.
Trust me.
They spend unbelievable amounts of
time. Right, and that's where I think that idea starts to come in, of the labor of love, you know.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to learn how to...
I worked with the machinist who was in the flight simulator, the Microsoft Flight Simulator series, which has been around forever.
Oh, sure.
Do you remember Nick Herriter?
No.
My old machine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, Nick. Yeah.
Dude, he was the biggest flight simulator freak ever.
No, whatever.
He lived for that. I mean, he would spend hundreds and hundreds of hours poring over manuals,
and they're
knowing every detail of every airport.
That's one of the reasons these simulator, like, genres are still alive. Again, there are plenty of people who legitimately, like, pilot or, like, you know, man trains for the day, and then will go home and legitimately play train simulator to do fantasy situations of things they don't normally do.
It's friggin'
like, there are people who just love doing it so much and, like, spend hundreds of dollars on extra.
Do you listen to
Mike Heiligsted? I think he's calling out to you. I'll bet you any amount. I know you worked for, but I'll bet you any amount. Currently, you are doing train simulators at home.
Do you listen to Midlife Gamer podcast? Have you ever listened to those guys? They're out of England.
No.
The guy, I think Darren, one of the guys that runs the podcast. He's like a huge train simulation nut, and he has like I've got him friended on what the
Grindr.
Hell do they call that thing? That thing that we talk about all the time. You know, it's on a computer, you download other games
with
it. Yeah. Got him on the internet. Oh, yeah. You know,
find
Steam.
Find him on the Google?
Steam.
I like mine better.
I'm just jealous. Steve,
I've been drinking.
It's time to put
Steam.
Him on the
home. I know. Steam. All right, so I've seen him on
Steam. I'm just jealous people like
that. That guy
podcast.
Has, like, he has, like,
no,
everything.
He was a big-time train guy.
Everything. Yeah. He has everything for us.
And again, like, it's cool to see that niche stuff, but I mean, like, again, when it comes to, like, labor's love, I do say the biggest two things I can think of are fan games and mods. Like, people who make stuff for no money.
Well, okay, so, like, what's your number one?
Gun to head, right? Counter-Strike. That was old.
Sure.
But again, Counter-Strike originally did not come out as a game to make money. People did it because they were like, okay, the Half-Life engine is great. I want to make something that's really spectacular and totally transforms this game. They made it because they loved that engine and they thought it could be so much more. So they created Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike, you know, 1.6 was forever, you know, and it's still, you know, played on in Counter-Strike Source and then Counter-Strike Go.
Counter-Strike Source, I still play.
But again, people who make those fan games and mods expecting no money, like they just release it for free at the beginning, like that's a labor of love.
And then the biggest douches on earth play them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Counter-Strike Source.
I know, but I like
Counter-Strike
Source. Biggest
douches play.
I like it.
You didn't follow with us. You should have stayed with your team, which I generally do try to do. It's just sometimes I don't know the map because I don't play it that often. I can't believe you missed that shit. Oh, give me a fucking break. I'm gonna play Modern Warfare. At least everybody's a douche and I can be one back.
Fair point.
Speak for me.
Fair point.
Alright.
Alright, Laura?
You went.
Oh, wait, no, I'm going to go.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. I'm sorry.
No,
well, we don't need to take a break.
No, but we'll go.
We're
going to
run upstairs real quick.
There will be a break.
I got a whole lot
of
nothing.
They're going to run.
You go first.
Okay, just fucking talk. Alright, we're going to talk about a game called. Let me describe why I'm going to talk for 45 minutes. For Christ's sake, Travis! I need 45 minutes to talk about it! Alright, I'm going to talk about Rush Rally 2, which is it is an Android game, which I would say is a labor of love. Because let's face it, how many freaking Android games are
sure.
labors of love? Not freaking many.
Sure.
And, rally games and racing games in general on Android are generally money whore games. They're games where you go out, hey, buy some coins, buy this, buy more gas, you're gonna run out of gas. No. Not Rush Rally 2. Number one, the game looks good. Number two, the controls are great. Has a wide variety of game modes. And guess what? When you buy it for like $3, you have it. Mm-hmm. There is no extras. There is no fuel gauge. There is no crap that you need to deal with. And I think games like that where they just work so hard and they're constantly patching. And I think this thing's been out for like well over a year or two. You don't see games like that. You don't see games that are actually crafted, and the game is crafted. So, Rush Rally 2, you should get it on Google Play. It works well with almost any controller you can find, and you definitely should play it with a controller. Jesus. For Christ's sake, play it with a controller like a man. Will ya? And you women, too, play it like a woman.
No, play like a man with a controller.
You don't need to grow a penis or anything. But
maybe you do.
And then you grow from that to a keyboard mouse, you know.
Oh, Jesus, with the console. I am a member of the console master. Well, that doesn't sound good either. You know what? Forget the Nazi thing. But I'm a big console gamer. But,
master race.
But I do love that game. It's a well-crafted game, and it's not something you see in Android a lot. It's just, you know, not the standard. The standard is get me a whole bunch of money really quick.
Sure,
you know, and milk the whales. Everything's for the whales. This game's not for the whales. It's for the player. And it's a solid rally game. It's not for the faint of heart either. It's not like for people who just want to play an arcade game. You're going to have a rough time because you take damage and your car drives like crap if you beat the crap out of it. It's gonna break. So, yeah, fun. Like it. I recommend it and think it's a labor of love. Now, I'm going to go have a smoke with this beer.
Wait, I have one thing before you leave here.
Away, oh, and we Larry's run taking over out of my ideas.
I was worth a shot.
We're going to be back in 5 minutes.
I do have a comment.
All right.
Labor of Love games. Would you say any game pre-DLC is a labor of love? Because DLC is a way to make money, where before that, if somebody wanted to make extra content...
There were awful licensed games in the 80s, 90s.
Atari 2600 had millions.
No, but still, they were blatant cash grabs written to make money.
Atari 2600 was a prime example.
That game crash of the 80s was because games stopped.
Game crash of the 70s, the same damn game.
Games were made to make money and not because they were loved.
Labor of love.
Yeah.
Well, and to keep something alive that nobody else likes anymore is a labor of love.
Whatever.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if there's any deals.
But I mean, paid deals. I don't know.
No, paid DLC, I think, is no longer a labor of love at that point. You're trying to make money.
No, but, you know, you're trying to... trying to sell people.
It can still be dope.
It depends. You're trying to sell people.
I mean,
it
can still be dope.
We're not asking. Right. We're not talking about dope games.
No,
we're talking
about...
I'm saying the DLC can still be like... Can still honestly be like...
A good deal.
Oh, like, download this DLC because it's really going to make the game, like, that much more fun.
Yeah, there are plenty of great DLC packs...
All right.
...that have been made by good developers. And again, they deserve some money for their time. Like,
okay, yeah, well, they're not overcharging
for it. No, certainly people take advantage of it.
Just shit their shoveling off to make it
better. But selling it is a labor of love.
I'm not even
going to... Hey, guys, come on. This is a good one, man. Go pick this one up.
GoldenEye is a good labor of love, actually.
You want to just be skipped?
By the way, you do realize they've made a high-res version of that. There's now a new...
GoldenEye Source has been out for forever.
No, there's a new one, the 1.6, all right?
But,
or something like that. There's a new version
that just came out.
We talked about this.
Just dropped.
Not too
the
many
more, but they're much more interesting. So, I mean, it's almost just as interesting. But there was actually a release of an old beta because Rare was going to release GoldenEye... Almost kind of like the Halo re-release, where you could switch between the classic graphics and the modern graphics. But Rare was planning to release the GoldenEye game for the Xbox 360.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, and they actually had a release prototype demo of it, which was pretty cool. And you can actually, like, you know, again, you can switch between the classic graphics and the updated graphics on the fly, nice. Which was cool. Pretty dope.
Because the other one was done by a different developer, right?
Yeah, and again, from it was like built in the Source Engine from the ground up. And again, that's been around for forever.
They
it
did
just
that with Halo
happened 3, to get some social media steam. Yeah. Sorry, I'm a, like, nerd elitist. Like, that's been out for, like, 5-6 years,
yeah, but they just came out with another one.
GoldenEye Source has been out for forever.
Yeah, they updated it.
They updated it.
Yeah, but it's been out for...
It's been out, been out and been good for, like, 5 or 6 years.
I hit stages where I tried to, like,
and then
play
like,
against people.
Oh, hey, everybody's
nobody
on their
online.
Facebook
right,
wall.
Nobody online. Thank you. Yeah. Exactly.
So it just got, like, that new, like...
Bump,
hey,
yeah.
We've done a bunch of stuff.
That's fair.
And it brings in...
Yeah, that's why. It got a bump.
That's fair. I'm just saying that game's old as shit. So.
I know.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I was going to talk about too is the GoldenEye Source.
I'm gonna watch this. I'm monitoring.
It's really, really good.
Because I know
I am the new god.
Mutiny. Mutiny.
I spend the entire rest of the time talking about
Rob is dead. Rob is dead.
Thanks for the good beer, Rob.
Pick our noses for the next 30 minutes.
But anyway, you want to say about GoldenEye Source?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Is this you? Do you want to go with GoldenEye Source?
Yeah.
You might as well talk
about
it.
Well, do you need it?
No,
do you need it?
No, I don't need it.
Okay.
Because I got another one.
No.
Just bounce around, man.
I got nothing on this topic.
GoldenEye Source really is... it's a very, very excellent update to the game. It plays identically, except with the keyboard and mouse, and it looks awesome. It's just, and they put so much work into it to make sure that it actually felt like the N64 game without kneecapping you. So it actually played like an N64 game. It's just a really, really, really beautiful and really, really well done mod for the Source Engine. And if you haven't played it yet, I highly recommend it. It's a fucking awesome game to play. Just sit down, jump in, and start doing fucking proximity mines.
And very low barrier to entry. It runs on a lot of computers.
Oh,
again,
yeah.
It's, you know, it runs on pretty low spec computers. It's a free download. Like, what's to go wrong with it?
Yeah, no, it's very, very, very good.
What? At this point, Source is what, 12, 10?
How many?
Don't remind me. Oh, it's just a fraction of my time life.
It's probably, I think it's closer to 14 or 15, because I remember coming out when I was about 12
or 15. So, yeah, you're talking like P4s could run it at the time back then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still chugging along, though. Still good.
You don't have one.
I got nothing.
You good?
I guess mine was a... I was trying to think. I had one that I kind of forgot, and then I was looking up... I saw something recently come up in a bunch of years ago. Postal 2 came out.
And then they just came out with DLC.
Yep, and they just came out with something that said, this area is closed until June of 2016. And here it is, past June 2016. The developers put an update into the game that opened the area, which added like some little VR, like kind of like, you know, kind of like spoof.
And a knockoff physical Steam shop called...
Yeah, Steam, and... STEM, and the like the logo looks like
a dick, but they added like DLC 13 years later for no reason.
You know, for the developer to just say, hey, let's pull out our old game code and just like put something in there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think they're pushing the re-release of their first game.
It's so fucking
fun.
It's like Postal Redux or whatever they want to call it. But it's like that's now like 2013 or 20, like a year or two ago, or one of the versions is coming out soon, but it may be tied to that, but just the fact that the developers would come out and fix an area that they said was closed and would open, and they actually opened the area when they said they would. Yeah.
That's really
funny. I mean, I don't think running with scissors is a very big group of people either.
Yeah, and the fact that they're still chugging along, like, say, have the motivation to say, hey, let's do this. Yeah. Like, that's pretty damn impressive. Like, 13 years later, it's like...
Yeah. Yep.
Especially because I'm thinking of my job when I'm like, yeah, I'll do that 3 weeks from now. And then it's
and
like,
it okay.
3 weeks, you're like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Was Google Calendar out then? You know, somebody to put that in there and go, remember we put this in here that we're going to update this part of the game map?
They pulled out their old Lord of the Rings calendar and then like, oh, yeah.
It's like a cat calendar with just hanging there.
Or they were just all sitting around drinking one night and went, remember that June 2016 joke we made?
No. Yeah.
We better fix that.
Yeah.
Finish that.
Yeah, I honestly, I mean, there's... And the thing is, like, it's harder to kind of distinguish yourself from the pack when you're kind of doing that stuff for love, too, because a lot of times you're doing, like, smaller games and smaller budgets with smaller teams. Like, again, there are plenty of indie games out there that are really great. Like, we've done plenty on our show, like the Robot Roller Disco Dodgeball, basically. And, like that game's great, and, like, the guy did it because he's like, okay, this is something that could be interesting, and, like, I just think it would be a lot of fun to make. And it was a lot of fun to play. And there are plenty of great indie games that, you know, have either niche fan bases or didn't quite hit the masses, but they just made it because they thought it would be something that's fun. And there's a lot to be said for that. And again, it's nice. It's good and bad because you can get out there and, like, be out there easily, but then you're mixed in with, like, hundreds of thousands of other people. And it's, like, kind of hard to distinguish yourself from the crowd. But again, I do appreciate a lot of those indie games that, you know, really... And that's why we have a lot of people on the show that do it, because they're people who are doing it because they love doing it, you know? And then it's like, yeah, if it makes a profit and, you know, it gets popular, that's great, but it's like something they wanted to do anyway, which is kind
of
cool.
This is fictional, but like Cones of Dunshire and Parks and Rec.
Technically a real game.
Yes, now it is a real game. But on the show, it was his labor of love.
I'm always impressed with... The physical builders, the guys who build the cabinets, the flight simulator cabinets we've mentioned a few times. But the other day I was over at a friend's house and he built a cabinet, basically dedicated to light guns, and something I didn't know that you can basically get. Light guns that work on flat
on LCDs, yeah. So basically, usually how that works is you'll have the light gun and you actually have receivers that basically kind of square out the screen and provide the X and Y coordinates. So you basically stick little stickies on the corners of your screen and you can actually use a light gun on an LCD or flat panel or plasma that normally doesn't work.
It normally doesn't work, and I think it's those RF receivers, though.
That would be an awful idea. RF is easily interfered with.
It worked really well, though.
Yeah, okay.
But,
well,
you know, he built the cabinet, and he collected all the games, and he got them all together, and it was just like, man, that's a lot of work to it. You know, he kind of plopped up the control panel, and there's just wires going everywhere, and it's just like, you know, it's a lot of work. I mean, yeah, a guy can, you know, right now, we're sort of living in this really super great age where if you wanted to know how to wire up a main machine or whatever, there's a pretty good chance you could just, like, pull up the YouTube video.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
And you could understand it. But to do it is a whole other thing. And I got a whole respect for people, you know, lots of us probably thought about doing it. But then there's people who actually do it. You know, he also had a trackball. And so, you know, because how else are you going to play Mad Marbles? Right?
17.
You know?
Marble Madness?
Yeah, Marble Madness.
Or Crystal Castles.
Yeah, right. How are you going to play that super great game if you don't have a trackball? And a light-up trackball's that much better.
I do think we live in a real DIY culture, though. Like, again, you get people who actually get a fair amount of success out of creating interesting things. You got Ben Heck. I mean, this guy does some amazing projects and, like, creates all these portables and, like, teaches you kind of, you know, basics and things like that. And there are even Twitch players. Like, again, I forget the guy's name. I wish Ben was here. He legitimately watches this guy on Twitch. He plays and does maintenance on pinball machines. Like, takes them apart, kind of shows you know, the insides and learns. You can learn stuff from that. Like, and again, I personally don't think there's any difference between the people who do kind of the hardware mods or people who do software mods, like creating new programs, things like that. It's the same amount of effort and love. It's just different skill sets.
Yeah, no, I totally, I do agree with that. I mean, there's the same effort and stuff. Jim, who we bring up on the show occasionally. Used to write mods for
Freedom Force. Yep.
Yeah. He taught himself
Insomniac Games.
Python, I think, was the base language. And so he taught himself that language.
By the way,
started writing these, and then he started, like, enlisting, like, voice actors from around the
I did voice
world.
Acting for a few of those. For anybody who doesn't know, and again, it's a really, really great old game. If you get a chance to check it out, it's called Freedom Force. So basically, it was a top-down, almost like RTS-style game, but you played as superheroes. So basically, again, you know a HeroClix, like mm-hmm. as a board game?
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing I'd say is it's HeroClix, but
right.
not turn-based.
Yep.
So it's real-time. You can assemble a team of heroes, but the best part of it is it had a great modding community. You can import custom heroes. You can create your own heroes with powers and skins, so you can like make your hero look the way different way you wanted. You can give it different powers and create it, and it would have a point cost. So you can assemble your own team of heroes, almost like HeroClix. But then everybody modded it, so obviously you can take characters from the DC, the Marvel, the independent universes, and create your own teams of heroes and run them through scenarios,
nice.
Which
well,
was stupid cool.
And
it was amazing. Amazingly done.
You can create like sort of episode mods where like
you're playing,
you know, this
is
an
yeah.
episode, and then you would release another
sure,
episode,
yeah.
and then,
nice.
So it's almost like a comic book string, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're
yeah.
playing it in real time, and it was stupidly good. And again, it was a great single player game, and you could also play it multiplayer against friends, which was also a lot of fun. Again, it's a great game, and it's an older run, but I highly recommend it. Again, you can get it on Steam.
I mean,
less
he would spend
bucks.
20, 30 hours writing these different ones, you know, and of course the correspondence between the different actors and stuff like that. I mean, it was a lot of going on there. So I totally agree with your concept of, yeah, to do a software mod like that, to do a hardware mod, yeah, you're probably in for hours and hours of work.
Let's talk about Freedom
either
Force.
Way.
Oh no, we were watching. You just yeah.
Yeah, we watched.
You talk about you doing all those mods and you.
First.
Yeah.
No. We're commenting.
Sorry, I'm the new
road. Well, you know, since you took the,
it was kind
since
of
you took the PC,
that
we would see the comments.
Surprise!
No,
surprisingly,
you don't have my seat.
Okay. I was gonna say surprisingly.
We even made it all the way around.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, that I'm not happy enough if we made it all the way around, because I already talked about it. He already talked about it. So
we did it.
I think we finished the show.
Congratulations.
Oh. Within budget and everything.
I have one more comment.
All right.
Until I get my pay.
We all know yeah. this is a labor of love.
Ow! Boom.
It is kind of fun. I kind of like hanging out with you guys.
You're all right. Yeah.
None of us are
sure.
paid. None of this is just
we do
labor
spend.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What?
We don't get paid for doing this?
Son of a bitch,
hey,
I quit!
Yeah, we spend way more money than we ever
really,
make.
It's really
so.
A negative sum. You think?
We've all been fired multiple times.
Yeah, exactly.
Only if you're part of the ad team.
I was just going to say.
Larry keeps taking his pants off.
Ad team, right here. Yeah, you know how that always ends.
Take us out.
Take us out, Rob.
It's been quite the cluster, so it's going to be a good one.
Oh, man.
Well, he doesn't know what to say. So what have we learned today? We've learned that guys, games, and beer is a labor of love. And we've learned that a lot of games are a labor of love. But mostly we've learned that games that are about labor are about giving babies to the world. And that, my friends, is not a great thing.
Figurative or literal babies. In Rob's case, literal.
It's however you want. Really, however you want.
So I'm going to go give birth. And
means rub one out to Honey Pop, but
Honey Pop was definitely a labor of love. I think that's really what we learned tonight, folks.
Well, the anime titties, I mean.
Thank you.
The only kind of titties worth
a real thing.
Thank you very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer, and thank you so much for supporting Tentacle Porn throughout the years so that we have the kind of labor that we really want to watch.
Anime titties.
Anime titties.
Next week, Tuesday?
Anime titties.
Anime titties on Guys, Games, and Beer.
I'm out of here.